I wondered if you knew what these famous circles were. Anybody know what this famous circle is? Yes. It's Stonehenge. It's a stone circle. Famous stone circle. Here's the next one for you. Oh, I'm pressing the buttons out. I forget. He knows this one as well. Somebody else know this one. This one's easy. Yeah, it is Starbucks. Thank you. Could you put your hand up next time, though, please? It is Starbucks. And this one. I wonder if any of the children know this one. Do you know which circle this one might be about? Yes. It's the Lion King. But do you know what the circle is in the Lion King? They sing the song. The circle of life, yeah. Now, we're going to be looking at another famous circle. Let me just get my little easel here, as we've not sorted down the front, just so you can see it all. We'll give it a name in a moment or two, and I hope you're going to help me to fill it in. But this is the circle we're going to be...
Okay, so we're going to read Romans 15, verses 8 to 13. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
Great, thank you very much. We're only just going to actually look at one verse. That's gone to computer one, not computer two. And it's that last one in the passage that we had. I've put it up there. I wonder if you could spot, though, in this verse, just to give us a clue as to what it's about. And there's been a fair few clues this morning as well. Like the bread in a sandwich or bookmarks, bookends on your bookcase, there is one word that is repeated at the beginning and the end of this verse. Can anybody see what it is? It is hope. Hope. We're going to be thinking about hope this morning. And in fact, this is the famous circle that I want to introduce to you. It's becoming famous this morning. It is the circle of hope. So I'll stick that on there. Circle of hope. And we're going to see that as we go on. And thank you for whoever picked this passage. Because like Andy Dufresne writes to his mate Red in The Shawshank Redemption, hope is... the best of things. It's a good thing, maybe the best of things. And I think as we go through, we're going to find how important hope is this morning. It is important for Christians, hugely. Hope's what we're looking forward to. Hope is what keeps us going when things get tough. Hope is the big thing that all Christians have in common. And I expect and hope that it is a thing that we want to share with other people as well. Just before we take a closer look at the verse, though, there's something quite important that I need to explain about hope. Because hope, like we think about it sometimes, isn't the hope that we get in the Bible. We like to think of hope as, I hope it'll be a sunny day, like today. It's my church picnic when I go back, and that's what I'm hoping for. Or when it gets to Christmas, I hope I'll get an Xbox One for Christmas. Or I don't know what you eat on a Friday, but I hope it's fish and chips for tea on Friday. Hope can be something that we're not sure of, but we're wishing will happen. Well, hope in the Bible isn't like that. Hope in the Bible is the hope that we have in God's promises, promises that are sure and firm and definite. Hope in the Bible isn't, well, a maybe, or, you know, it could happen, or if you're lucky. Hope in the Bible, in God's promises, is 100% certain. It's set in stone. It is definitely, totally, completely, completely, utterly, definitely. Are you getting the idea? Hope is in the Bible is like that. So let me pray that we get that sort of hope into our heads as we have a look at this verse today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your hope. Help us to understand it well this morning. Introduce us to it in a new way, which helps us to hope more. In your name, amen. Now, there's someone I need to introduce you to as we take our little think about hope. And sadly, it's somebody who's not necessarily the easiest, or we think isn't the easiest, to get to know. You can't actually see him, but that doesn't mean he's not there. You couldn't sit down and have a McDonald's Happy Meal with him, or you wouldn't think you were sitting down and having a McDonald's Happy Meal, but that doesn't mean that he's not there. He's mentioned at the end of our verse. Can anybody see who the friend is at the end of our verse? James is well up. Nope, it's right at the end there. Can you see? Go on, you give it us. Nope. The Holy Spirit, well done. Definitely got a special little whisper in your ear there. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our friend. A friend that we often think is a little bit like an appendix. You know, you could manage without him. But we're going to see this morning that the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, we would be absolutely lost. We'd be nowhere. We'd be sad. We'd be stressed. We'd be depressed, disheartened, and hopeless. Who needs the Holy Spirit? Every single one of us needs the Holy Spirit here. As our verse tells us, it's his power that takes us on this journey through hope. And I hope you'll see that as we go on. So come with me and the Holy Spirit, and let's take a little peek at the first thing he wants to show us by his power in this verse. Have a look at the first bit of the verse and see if anybody can tell me, and you might be up for this one over here, where hope comes from in the first place, or who hope comes from in the first place. Yes. Well done. It is. It's God. And you can see him there, the God of hope. Now, I need a volunteer now. James, come on, you can do this. He's far too quick. I just want you to go and see if you can find a piece of sort of paper over in that area for me here, just to show that we search for hope, if we're left to it, in all the wrong places. Okay, bring it back over here. Let's have a look at one of the places we search for hope badly. We search for hope in relationships. I wonder how many of you think, go and have a search for another bit of paper over there. See, this way. Oh, that side. Go and see if there's another one over there. I wonder how many of us think, if only I could be friends with that group, then everything would be all right. If only I could get married to that person, then everything would be sorted. We search for hope in relationships. What else you got there? Ooh, oh, sorry. That's my fault. We've got money and stuff. Go and see. I think something over by the sound desk over there. Go and have a look and see if there's any search over there. Money and stuff. I wonder how many of us think, if we get the next toy or the next bit of gadget or the next bit of tech, then our lives will be just so much easier. Or maybe we think if we keep the savings in the bank rather than give it to the building fund, the future will be bright. We look for hope in money and stuff. What else have you got there? Fame. What about fame? Thank you very much. That's great. You can have a seat. Until I next ask a question, no doubt you'll put your hand straight up. When I'm a famous footballer, or when my accomplishments in music get me somewhere, or when I win, the X Factor. And actually, on the X Factor, you hear them say it all the time, don't you? This means everything to me. If only I win tonight, it's everything that I've hoped for. Left to our own devices, and there are plenty of other things as well, we would search for hope in all the wrong places. So it is great that our friend, the Holy Spirit, steps in and sends us a message telling us where hope comes from. You don't have to sort of go searching for it, strangely enough, I don't think, in many ways. This comes direct from heaven's postman, the Holy Spirit, who popped in this morning and delivered a letter to Caleb. Caleb, do you want to bring it out? Here it is. Oh, look who it's to. Christchurch Central, Hope Valley Cement Works, somewhere in the Peak District. Caleb, come back here a second. Don't go. Take it to this fella on the front. He can open it and see what's inside. Thank you. And we'll see where our hope comes from. We've got it already. Oh, actually, take this little bit of paper out. Or you could just ruin my total envelope if you like. There you go. Great, I'll come and get it. Thank you very much. I just need that bit. That's fine. So the Holy Spirit... Always say I like a bit of feedback on my sermons. The Holy Spirit, in his power, introduces us to the God of hope. And he does that in his word. I don't think it's any surprise that the verses we had read had four quotes from the Bible in before it got to hope. And that last one particularly talks about the root of Jesse. It's Jesus where our hope is going to come from ultimately. So if you like points, that's my first one. Stick it on here. The Holy Spirit, keep away from the speaker, by his power... introduces us to the God of hope in the Bible. Okay, where's the Holy Spirit going to take us next? Let's grab his hand and look at the next bit of verse 13. May the God of hope, who fills you with joy and peace as you trust in him. I think, as you said, as you believe in him, in the version that we looked at on the screen. If you're a Christian here today, then I would guess that one of these things has happened to you. Maybe your mum and dad have read you bits from the Bible for years and years. They've been telling you about Jesus. And then one day you just suddenly realised, you know what? This is true. Jesus is real, and what he's done is real too. Maybe that happened to you. Maybe you just had one of those sort of freak moments where, there was a Bible verse on a bus, or a particular situation you ended up in reminded you of years and years ago something that you'd heard about Jesus, maybe when you were at Sunday school or something like that. And you just thought to yourself, you know, I can't believe that I've forgotten that I trusted in Jesus in those days. Perhaps a friend took you on one side and said, look, do you want to read the Bible with me? It'd be great. We just sort of get a gospel out, have a cup of coffee. And as you read, you found that you had confidence in Jesus too. Some of us, I'm not making any sort of, you know, they look older, these sort of people, but you could have been in church for years and years and years. And then suddenly one day you've heard sermon after sermon after sermon, and suddenly after, yes, of course, that's it. Grace, I really do believe in that. Or possibly over a period of time, you've been on loads of courses. You've read loads of books. You've even got a Bible out every now and again and read that. And slowly, it's all steadily come together so that you became more certain that Jesus had rescued you. It'll happen in loads of different ways. But every single one of those moments, or whatever your moment was, whenever it was, wherever it was, you can be sure that it was the Holy Spirit who opened your eyes and hearts to trust in him and the God of hope. So, Sam, you got a delivery this morning. Where's Sam? There he is. Do you want to give it to this little fella here? Do you want to open it with him and see if you can find a bit of paper in there? Oh, he's just fallen off his chair. That's good. Well, maybe if he can... Do you want to have a look in the envelope? He's all right. He's still in one piece. That's good. Thank you very much. What have you found? Have you got anything? Is it in there? Great. That's lovely. Do you want to pass it forward? Thanks a lot. It says, keep calm and trust in God's promises. The Holy Spirit, by his power, helps us to trust in God's promises. So let me sort of stick that up on here. There it goes. Excellent. Thank you very much. Good work. Can you begin to see how busy the Holy Spirit is in the lives of Christians? But there's more, and it gets better. As Christians, we, by the Holy Spirit, meet the hope of God, who helps us to trust in his promises. And then, did you notice what it fills us with? Can anybody spot this? What does it fill us with as we trust in God's promises? Yes. Hope. Honestly, they are Christians, this lot, aren't they? You know, it's about hope. The answer must be hope. Go on then. Sam, you spot it for us. What does it fill us with? It fills us with joy and peace. There you go. There it is. Fills you with all joy and peace. Let me try and explain what I think this means. Sometimes I get grumpy. Sometimes things bug me and stress me out. Ah. Pecking my head and things like that. Sometimes life just gets on top of me and I can't face it. Sometimes I actually just forget about God and just sort of get on with it. And then the Holy Spirit nudges me and he goes, oh, me speaker's come out. There you go, I'll go back and then you can hear it. Oh no, I've got to look at all my faces again now. There you go. Sometimes the Holy Spirit nudges me and says,
hey, old Gareth, there's more to life than just this stuff, you know.
Or?
Look at it, it's brilliant.
Or?
Come on, son, get things in perspective. God is totally in charge.
Or?
Keep calm and get the big picture, because it's a great one.
Or?
Remember, Jesus is just magnificent.
And when he does, when he says those things to me, and he might say in all sorts of different ways, through a Bible verse, through a song, just through sort of wandering around and thinking my own conscience, he might say it through another Christian, it really changes my heart deep inside. And so that grumpiness, it changes slowly to a joy. That stress slowly turns to peace. Best I could do, I'm sorry. Things might not get better. Life might still be really hard, but I am helped to remember what's most important, and that leaves me with true happiness and security, even if that's hard. So, next letter, Caleb. Who do you want to deliver it to? Give it to young Master Crofts down here. Look, he can open that one. See what you can find inside there. I'll come over and get it. What have you got? Is it in there? Fantastic. There you go. Fills me with joy and peace. The Holy Spirit, by his power, fills me with joy and peace. So I'll just stick that one on as well. There you go. We start with God, a God of hope, who says, look, you can get right with me. You can sort it out through what Jesus has done. And we go, yes, I want some of that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to trust in God's promises in a way that fills us with joy and peace. But here's the interesting thing. It's not really surprising, is it, that when we hope, it gives us joy and peace. But Paul, at the end of our verse, says this. He says that peace and joy then lead to more hope, so that we may overflow with hope. In this last, actually, Sam, you've got the last letter there. Let's have a look. Who's not opened one yet? Who wants to open one? Oh, James hasn't. Okay, go on then, fella. Let's see what's inside there. There's two little bits in this. You'll have to bring them out the front for me, James, as well. Yeah, in this life, you can always get more hope. I think that's something really important to remember. In this life, you can always get more hope. It's like hope's like the magic porridge pot. It just sort of keeps on growing, keeps on overflowing. And the picture in our verse is of someone sort of swimming in hope, which is why, James, if you want to give me those bits, thanks very much, two bits. It's why we've got hope overflowing in these pictures here. I'll come back to that in a second. Just imagine having that sort of a hope that's overflowing. Bad days would become quite different. Although they might be still bad, they would be overshadowed by this tidal wave of hope. Pop that on there. And this hope, there we go, if it is permeating every single thing that goes in the day. You know, God is totally in control. Can you imagine how that would change decisions and choices that we have to make through a day? And you'd have so much hope, overflowing in hope. Well, that makes you mean you've got to share it with other people, doesn't it? So how do we grow that hope? How do we actually grow that hope? Well, it's easy. Our verse says that we do it by delighting and enjoying the joy and peace that God's hope brings us, that the hope that we get from being born again and rescued by Jesus. Now, for scientists among you, this is probably the best positive feedback loop ever. It just keeps growing more and more hope. If you are a theologian, this enjoying joy and peace is what John Piper calls Christian hedonism. If you enjoy your old Church of England-y sort of type stuff, the Westminster Catechism says that we are here as men and women to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We are supposed to be filled with joy and peace and actually really spend our time delighting in it. But if you're not a theologian or a scientist, and you're just normal, like me, then let me give you some ideas of what that delighting in joy and peace might look like. I think we should sing together. I think we should sing together a lot of the amazingness of God. I think just enjoying the world that God has given us and enjoying each other within that world and thinking of that world without sin, without the bad stuff that goes on, without the way that we mess it up, just thinking on those things is joy and will bring more joy and peace, or allow us to delight in joy and peace. Take a look at the future. Take time to picture heaven, and particularly what it's going to be like to meet Jesus face to face, as we've sung in a couple of our songs today. And when you face a challenge, when it is tough, know that God really does understand. He has faced challenges the same. And he does give the strength. He's like a dad who wants to give everything to his child so that they can manage through. And when it is really, really hard, really, really hard, then remind brothers and sisters that one day it won't be. One day it won't be. And what Julian said earlier on I thought was really, really helpful. So just to finish, I don't know what life's like for you lot at the moment. In my experience, it goes up and down. There will be times when stuff is going really, really well, when home and family is happy, when school and work and university are all really, really satisfying. Maybe you're healthy and well, and you know, everything's sort of functioning well. You've got good friends, church is great, you're learning loads and spending quality time with God, and there's an exciting building project in the future. But then there are those times when it's not always good. Arguments at home, maybe dreading homework or the next exam or the next task at work. Or maybe your back's playing up, or you've had to have blood tests because you're losing weight, or even more serious stuff as we heard earlier on. Friends and trainees are leaving and moving away. And Christian-wise, things feel a little bit of a drag, and there isn't enough funding for the building fund. Sometimes life is good, and sometimes it's a little bit harder. And often, stupidly, I wait until the bad times to think about hope. How daft is that? Why bother waiting until the bad times to think about hope? I think this verse and this circle of hope that we've seen this morning tells us we should practice hoping a lot more than we do. So with that in our heads, when we get to those times when things are going pear-shaped and not so well and belly up, there is something really good. Hope is a good thing. It's the best of things. So let's practice hoping together even more. Let me pray as we finish. Heavenly Father, thank you for hope. Thank you for your hope, that certain hope that we have in your promises. Thanks for the Holy Spirit and the way he reveals that and you to us. Thank you for the way he brings joy and peace, that he helps us to trust in you in a way which just that helps that hope overflow even more. Help us to practice it together. Thank you that your hope does work and makes a big difference. In your name, amen.